Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it's Wednesday. That is the 30th of October. Still have one more day tomorrow for October. And then five more. And we end this lunacy. But let me say a few things. So interesting. Happened to be looking on the board at some of the earlier conversations, and I noticed that there's one that says something about DJT, which I'm sure refers to the actual guy, as opposed to the company. So let's address that first, the company. And, you know, I've warned about this. There was a giant run-up on the story that possibly Elon Musk would buy out that crazy company of Donald's. And I don't know why he'd want it except for to give Donald $5 or $6 billion, and it would be sort of a smart way to do it by buying the company as opposed to handing Donald the money. It would create problems. But this creates no trouble. Just go in and buy the company for $5 billion more than it's trading at right now, and Donald pockets the cash. Well, so far he hasn't done it. And I guess maybe he's not going to. There's no sign that he will. Of course, there was really not much of a sign ahead of time anyway, just a story. And on top of all of that, you know, a lot of people got the idea because of the betting that's going on out there that Donald has this election locked up, which, of course, it's completely false, just like everything having to do with Donald. But no sense in arguing about it because we only have 6 days left. So no worries. Just let's get to the 6 days and then we'll see what the numbers are. Now, it's not telling you who wins the election because Donald's got another plan. So we'll talk about the plan here in a minute. But I just felt like addressing some little pieces first before we get into everything else. So, for example, I'm sitting here looking at something that says Kamala Hitler. And, you know, it's so funny. So here's what happens. You say something. And then someone else just says, oh, no, it's the opposite. I understand. Sort of a game that you play when you're 10. And you can play it now, too, if you want. But what really comes down to is this. Donald first uses the language of Hitler. Kamala does not. Donald reads Hitler's speeches before he goes to sleep at night. Kamala does not. But if you say, Donald's Hitler, and then the other people say, well, you're Hitler. Okay, I understand. Playground stuff, and that's fine. Because in 6 days, we're done with all that mess. Because the election will end it. Now, it won't end the next thing I'm going to tell you about, but it ends that stupidity. Oh, and one other thing before we get to anything that maybe makes any sense whatsoever. It's actually two other things. Let's go to Tampon Tim. So in the first place, Tim Walz did not recommend or attempt to get a law passed that would provide tampons for eighth grade boys. It's just not true. Here's what he did, which makes all the sense in the world. Of course, If you say that he wanted tampons for eighth grade boys, well, then you'd be, that'd be silly. I mean, eighth grade boys don't need tampons. However, it is possible that an eighth grader who's actually a girl could identify as a boy and use the boy's bathroom. And the law says that there should be tampons available for anybody who may be menstruating that uses that bathroom. So the tampons are not for the boys. The tampons are for, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know how you would identify yourself. But if you identify yourself as a boy or a male or, I don't know, whatever it is that you say, first of all, that's perfectly fine with me and should be respected. Should be respected. Because, I mean, at the very least, you ought to be aware that the people who are made fun of under those situations often tend to commit suicide. And why anybody would want to encourage another person, young, old, or in between, to commit suicide, I can't even understand that one. So the point is, be respectful. And if a female identifies as something else and uses the boys' bathroom, and therefore originally was a girl, and now still menstruates, then there should be a tampon in there for that person. I know there are people out here who think this is all very funny. It's really not funny, because these young people are really struggling in their lives to decide where they should be in terms of identifying their gender. And I really don't even care what it is. I don't care if it's something else totally. Anything that anybody claims for themselves, that's fine with me. It really is. If they're not hurting somebody else, and you can't even say not hurting yourself, because I don't know what hurts you or doesn't. It may hurt you to identify as a male when you were born a male, but when you feel like you're something else. I think this is all very complicated, and mistreating people over these things is just, it's horrible. It's very bad. So I understand what Tim Walz was trying to do, and I don't see any problem with it whatsoever. I think it's very sensible. I think he's a good man. Now, here's one. Some friends of mine, you know, I'm friends with a lot of people. I'm friends with people on all the sides and in between. So here's one group. They're saying that we have kindergarten teachers who are teaching kindergarten students how to have sex. Now, of course, nobody should be teaching kindergartners how to have sex. Now, there may be something else that these people are talking about. For example, I don't know, and I didn't get this from anybody. I'm just thinking out loud because I know how crazy everyone is. If you're discussing, possibly, with a five-year-old, the fact that when mommy and daddy leave the house, they kiss each other goodbye, and you call that sex. I don't know. I'm just saying, people are crazy. So guess what? Don't be crazy, because it would be okay for a kindergartner to say, you know, mommy and daddy kissed each other goodbye. I don't know that that's what these people are talking about. I don't know what they're talking about, because it's all stupid. Because no one, I mean no one, is suggesting that we teach kindergartners how to have sex. So please, get a grip on life. So, okay, let's drop that one. Oh, okay. So Michael says, so priests are pedophiles. So let's do away with all priests. Yeah, obviously, Michael. There, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't. You know, there are people who are just looking for trouble. And I know that there are many people who have problems with this whole priest situation. And honestly, I know that the Catholic Church is going to great lengths to try to find people who are abusing kids in the name of the church or otherwise. And they're trying to get rid of them. And I know they've hid certain things at times in the past, and that's not good. But, you know, there are all kinds of ways of describing these things. And the best thing that we can do is just honestly say, what's happening? That would be best. I understand chances of being reasonable about all of this, that those chances are pretty small. Okay. So let's get rid of all that. That took 12 minutes for nothing, but it's all right. So let's try this one, because this is something that has to do with reality, something that's really happening. There's a New York Times Magazine story, which was written by a guy named Jim Rutenberg, and he's a Times writer. He was interviewed this morning on Joe Scarborough's show, and he has outlined in great depth what the Republicans are planning to do in order to try to steal the election. There's a whole playbook here. They've got an idea. Donald calls it sometimes a secret between him and Michael Johnson. And from time to time, you know, different things are involved in the secret. There's no telling what the secret is. But even if it's not this, there is a secret, but it's not very secret. Everybody knows. The Republican Party is sending people out all over the country, lawyers, others. And the plan is that when the election is either called for Kamala or appears to be heading in the direction of Kamala, then they'll start ramping up this program for attempting to wrest the election away from the correct election officials and turn it over to the House of Representatives so that they can install Donald as president. It has been done once before. I've talked about it at length. I'm not going to do it again. Rutherford B. Hayes stole the election from Samuel Tilden. That's the governor of Ohio, who lost every part of the election to Samuel Tilden. That is the popular vote and the electoral college vote. And then managed to wrest it away from the winner of the election. That's Rutherford B. Hayes did that. That ushered in the Jim Crow era, and Trump would like to do that in order to usher in the era of Vladimir Putin owning the United States of America. Now, I'm just going by the Mueller report. That's all. You don't like that? Hey, sue me. Everybody's suing everybody anyway. But I will say that the Mueller report does identify all of the illegal activity between Donald and the Russians. And then furthermore, we know that both Donald and his pal, Elon Musk, are having regular conversations with Vladimir Putin. Everybody knows. It's a fact now. It's all public. Donald says if he does it, that it's perfectly okay. Nothing wrong with it. Well, that's fine. Don't elect him president, or you will be turning this country over to Vladimir Putin. And we won't. We won't. So it's not a problem. And I'm going to talk about why we're not in just a moment. But I'm trying to deal with, you know, a few things here and there. For example, let's mention with regard to what I just said, that when Steve Bannon got out of jail yesterday, and listen to what I just said. When Steve Bannon got out of jail, these are Donald's friends. Okay, jail. So Steve Bannon was in jail, and when he got out, he immediately, first thing, the first words out of his mouth, Donald should declare victory in this election. Okay. I mean, if you don't get it yet, I don't know what to tell you. But read Jim Rutenberg's article in the New York Times, or don't read it and just keep mouthing off and pretending that you don't know about anything. So let's talk about pretending that you don't know about anything. So we know that the comic at the Nazi rally in Madison Square Gardens, the comic told a joke about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage. Now, here's what Donald is saying about it at this point. This is Donald's back away from it. Not I'm sorry. Not it was inappropriate. Here's what he says. He says, first of all, I don't even know who that guy is. Never heard of him in my life. Not only have I never heard of him, but I don't even know what his name is. So I couldn't have heard of him because I don't even know the name. I know nothing about him. I've never seen him. I've never heard of him. I know nothing. And I don't even know what he did. Didn't hear a word of it. Don't know anything about it. It has nothing to do with me. Now listen. How many times Donald has told that story? Over and over again. It's always, I don't know that person. Never heard of him. Never heard of her. Nothing to do with it. That's not me. And then he thinks he can move on. Well, it has worked. It has worked. Honestly. For 8 or 9 years, it has worked. The man lies. Says, I never heard of it. I never heard of them. I don't know anything about it. And pretty much, you know, here and there, there's somebody that realizes what's going on. But for the most part, people seem to accept it. But here's the problem. He just ran into a brick wall on that story. And the brick wall is the Puerto Rican diaspora. That is, Puerto Ricans all over the world, and specifically those who have come to the United States and are spread out across the United States. And remember, of course, that these are American citizens. Now, understand, too, that Donald wants to end birthright citizenship. But he hasn't done it yet, and he won't because he'll have to be president to do it, and he's not going to be president of anything except for maybe the Prisoners Association. As I've said, often. Okay, so let's get back to where the brick wall is. You know, Donald wants to put up a wall. Well, he's got a wall now, but it's not the wall he was thinking of. He has created himself a wall in the Puerto Rican community, in the Puerto Rican diaspora. Puerto Ricans are furious. Now, you heard yesterday my friend Juan Figueroa, and just to rehash it, Juan was a political person in Puerto Rico. He grew up in Puerto Rico, and then he came to the United States, and he's been here for 40 years, and he's run for offices here and served in government here. He's a lawyer. He's currently in Georgia, and he's got his finger on the pulse of the Puerto Rican diaspora, which is why I brought him on the air yesterday for a half an hour. And here's what he had to say. First, he said that Puerto Ricans are going to go to the polls and really, they will step over any barriers to get there. It doesn't matter. They're going to vote. And they're going to vote against Donald. They remember the paper towels. They remember Donald's incredibly disrespectful behavior. And none of that even has anything to do with what Donald is saying today. And I heard this afternoon, and I had to laugh. This is what he always says, that he has been the best president for the Puerto Ricans of all time. And that one I don't even have to guess, and I don't have to quote anybody else, because I heard Donald say it. The best ever for Puerto Ricans. Now, it's interesting that Puerto Ricans don't think that at all, and never did. However, this garbage story has caught fire in the Puerto Rican community. If you remember, I said months ago that Kamala Harris had caught fire in the United States, which, by the way, she has. And I understand that the other side, just like I keep saying, they're talking, you know, the team. And I use my baseball analogy. When you're in spring training, your team, which has me as the number one pitcher, can claim that you're going to win everything, go into the World Series. Of course, if you put me on the mound, I could throw the ball from the pitcher's mound to home plate, and I could put the ball over the plate a lot too. However, instead of 100 miles an hour, you'd probably be looking at about 65 or 70. But I have a pretty good arm for my age, certainly, and I always had a pretty good arm, and I'm very accurate. I can throw well. But I can't win a Major League Baseball game. Get it? And so it goes with Donald. He can talk all he wants about how he has nothing to do with this Hinchcliffe comedian, and he doesn't know about the joke, and he has nothing to do with it, no connection. But remember this. Before the joke, Donald was talking about the United States itself as being the garbage can of the world. So this whole garbage story came from Donald in the first place. So let's straighten the rest of this out too. So Donald came up with this garbage thing, and I don't know what his connection was to the to the guy at the at Madison Square Gardens. But it doesn't matter because Puerto Ricans are fired up. And you can say a thousand times whatever you want, because unlike the story about people on Fifth Avenue allowing you to shoot somebody, the Puerto Ricans aren't going for this. They're just not doing it. This is not their deal. Their deal is you have disrespected the Puerto Rican diaspora, and we're going to vote against you. Period. That's what they're going to do. And there's nothing Donald could do right now. Maybe one thing. If Donald called a special either press conference or maybe a speech or something like that, and he stood up and said, you know, I'm slightly responsible for that guy. I know who he is. I didn't think he was going to do that. I probably should have known, because they loaded it up on the teleprompter. But at any rate, I want to say to all Puerto Ricans right now, I am completely sorry. I really apologize. Shouldn't have let this happen. It shouldn't have ever happened. I shouldn't be calling people garbage. And I'm never going to call people garbage ever again. Now, that might affect somebody. Maybe. It might. But don't worry, because Donald isn't going to do that. I don't care. If you can prove, which I talk about all the time, if you can prove that the sun's going to explode in 4 billion years, which the scientists say it will, you'll have a better chance of convincing everybody that that's what's happening in 4 billion years, which people don't even want to listen to that nonsense, but it is science. But at any rate, you'd have more chance of getting that than of getting Donald to step forward and say, I'm sorry. He's not going to do it. Okay, so let's get off of that. Because, again, now we're 27 minutes into this, and we haven't done anything anyway except for stupidity. Okay, let's deal with this one. It's totally related, and it's next. Donald started the garbage story. Then came the comedian. And then after Donald and the comedian and all these other Republicans were screaming about garbage, and then a question was asked of Joe Biden, he responded stupidly, no, it's the MAGA people who are garbage. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that for a lot of reasons, but shouldn't have done it because it's very disrespectful. And the whole point is Kamala is not saying anything remotely like that. And Kamala is the one who's running for president. But we don't need to convince anybody, because here's the thing. No one on either side is going to be convinced. But get this. There's no need to convince anybody, because the only people who are convinced of anything are the Puerto Ricans. And they're going to vote, because they've got millions of people here in the United States. They are American citizens, and they have a right to vote here in the United States. Now, let me give you some numbers so you can understand what a problem Donald's got. And it's gigantic. I think that Kamala was going to win anyway, but But I think this will end it 100%. 500,000 in Pennsylvania, Puerto Ricans. 400,000 in Wisconsin. 300,000 in North Carolina. 200,000 to 300,000 in Nevada, Arizona. And these are all swing states. And these Puerto Ricans are going to vote like there's no tomorrow. You know, it's sort of like when they say, you know, they're going to crawl over glass, broken glass, to get to the polls. That is what they're going to do. They are going to vote against Donald Trump. They just are. There's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing I can do to stop it. There's nothing Donald could or would do to stop it, except for to say he's the greatest president for Puerto Ricans in history. And so that's ridiculous. Puerto Ricans would have to be stupid to go for that one, and they're not. And I say it all the time. Women aren't stupid. Blacks aren't stupid. Puerto Ricans aren't stupid. Young people aren't stupid. Guess what? Nobody is stupid. Now, there's some people who have been conned by Donald because they watched that stupid program that he did on television for 10 years, which, as I always say, is the equivalent of believing that Robert Young could take out your appendix because he was Marcus Welby. Well, Donald is no businessman. And listen, if you could tell me, which he didn't do, that Donald sold all his DJT stock at $54 a share yesterday or today, and last I saw it was trading at 40, then I'd say, well, that was a pretty smart move. But he didn't, because he has to announce it in order to do it. I say announce it, he has to file something, and he didn't file anything. So, yeah, that's out. And as far as DJT, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I said it was $40 a share. I'm like Donald, I lied. I don't want to lie. I want to tell you the truth. Now it's $38 a share. So in the hour, no, in the half hour since I've been on the air, Donald has lost another $300 million. Let's take this way, 38 to 54. Yeah, that's in one day. Goodbye, $2 billion, Donald. And do I sound happy? Well, of course I am. I want him to lose it all. I want it to go down to zero because the man has stolen from people all over the United States for a very long time. And I think it's extremely important for him to walk away completely discredited with no money, with nothing, because it's the only thing that will convince the crazy people who follow him that this man is what everybody on our side on Earth One knows. He's a grifter. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he owes the state of New York $500 million because of it, and as well as owing almost $100 million, $90-plus million, to E. Jean Carroll because he raped her. The jury said he did it. The judge said he did it. He did it. That's all. Sorry. I didn't tell him to do it. And why anybody out here supports a rapist. I don't know. And, you know, they've got other people out there on TV talking about this, too. You got 26 women who say that Donald Trump either raped them or attempted to rape them. All lying, huh? Okay. But anyway, it doesn't matter because we know one of them is getting $100 million because the judge and jury says he raped her. In the United States, which is where we are, now I understand if you're in Russia, a little different. But as long as this is still the United States, he raped her. Pretty simple. Okay. Yeah, I think I've handled all that mess. That's 35 minutes of a complete mess. Let's see. Jim Modlin says, well, you voted for Joe, who molested his daughter. Okay. I'm glad you did that, Joe. I mean, Jim. I'm really glad you did, because I'm sort of disposing of all these things. So let's dispose of that one. I heard his daughter say he didn't do it. She said, I never said he did it, and he didn't do it. Now, I understand Jim and others believe he did it. But she says it didn't happen. And if anybody says to me, but it's in the book or it's here, no, she says it's not. So if I'm going to believe anybody, I'm going to believe her. So that's okay. And understand why you're saying it, Jim, because somebody told you, and so it's somebody that you trusted, and you believe them. But the problem is, it wasn't her, because I did hear what she said. Jim says, isn't it amazing how the wealthiest guys always seem to get accused of rape? No, that's not true. For example, Mark Cuban hasn't been accused of raping anybody, and he's one of the wealthiest guys. Bill Gates hasn't raped anybody, and he's one of the wealthiest guys. There are very many wealthy people who have not been accused of rape. So, no, that's not always true. And what is true is that his daughter says it never happened. His daughter says it. Okay, Jim, well, I understand what you're asking. Jim says, have either of them run for president? No, but guess what? John Kennedy was extremely wealthy for his time. Now, of course, today he wasn't a billionaire, but he was a wealthy man running for president, and no one accused him of rape. In fact, he actually did have relationships with women that were, you know, they wouldn't have been approved by Jackie. But he wasn't accused. He did it, but not rape. And, you know, it was all consensual. And he wasn't accused. No, it's not true, Jim. What's true is a lot of times bad people do get accused of these things, and sometimes, many times, they've done it. So that's part of the problem. Something to keep in mind. And really, what I out of all the things I've said in the last 40 minutes of every single one of these things, I want to point to that New York Times Magazine article by Jim Rutenberg, who is a very, very fine journalist, who has outlined what Donald thinks he's going to do. What Donald thinks he's going to do after he loses the election. because he thinks he's going to win. I mean, this is why he's so very complacent right now. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I mean, Jim mentions the suit. We're almost there. We're going to get to the suit stuff in a second. But yeah, it's a nice suit. Hey, there's no question. I mean, we can agree on one thing. The St. Louis Suit Company has great suits, but we haven't started that yet. So just, you know, hang on. I'll get there. I promise. Okay. The rest I'm going to talk about after we do a little business, because I do want to get to the Washington Post. I want to get there. But so far we've spent 40 minutes really talking about Donald Trump's lunacy, things that he imagines and that he tells people and that he spreads and that somehow ends up being believed by some people in the United States. Greg is wanting to mention Bill Clinton in the Oval Office. But let me say this. That was consensual, Greg. Now, there are a couple women who say that he raped them. And I don't know, maybe he did. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know this. Bill Clinton did a lot of good for the United States. And many in the Republican Party agree with that, including George W. Bush, who is now one of Bill Clinton's best friends in the world. That's a fact. Ethical? Was Bill Clinton ethical? I would say in many ways, or maybe even in most ways, yes. That's me. If you think that relationship with Monica Lewinsky was somehow horrific, the only thing I don't like about it is that he left Monica Lewinsky feeling horrible. She really did. It sort of wrecked her whole life, at least up to a point, and then she sort of got over it, but it took, you know, years. And no, I don't like that part, but, you know, she was in on it when he was in on it, and, you know, I just don't even have those conversations. I mean, if it's consensual, it's consensual, and it was. Bill Clinton was a good guy. Very smart, one of the smartest presidents that we've ever had, only perhaps exceeded by, you won't like this, by the brilliance of Hillary, who was brilliant, should have been president. What a sad situation that was. Okay, let's go to Wendy's. So first of all, Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and the food is so good. They've got wings. They've got meat, the smoked meats. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, lots of onions. They've got great salads. They've got terrific drinks. You know, I love their iced tea. And as far as I'm concerned, the best of it all, that's the baby back ribs. They have that at both locations, so... You know, Wendy's is great. You're going to love their food. You're going to love the environment. You're going to love Ben and his wife for even putting this thing together in the first place. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And if you go to Defiance, it's at $29.99. You think I'd have that memorized. South Highway 94 in Defiance. That's Wendy's. Now, Jewels on Hampton is just a great place to do business. If you want to go and buy and sell jewelry, or, for example, you want to buy and sell coins, they do all of that. And what it really comes down to is how ethical is Al? Because that's who you're going to do business with. And here's the answer. Al is the best. He really is. Great place to do business if you're buying and selling jewelry. You can rely on these people. They are extremely trustworthy. That's Jewels on Hampton. Lots of great jewelry. They design jewelry. They fix watches. They do it all. Al's got this great business. You should go visit him because you're going to just like Al, and he'll welcome you in the store. And that's at 4506 Hampton. That is Jewels on Hampton. Now, as Jim Maudlin pointed out, I'm wearing a nice suit. There's no question about that. Because I go to the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton has been there for 30 years. It's pretty impressive. They've got suits. They've got shirts. They've got shoes. They've got ties. They're incomparable. They really, you cannot find a better tie than what you're going to get at the St. Louis Suit Company, and then you're going to pay $5. Now, it's a great place to buy men's clothing. And then on top of all of that, if you're getting married, they will help you with wedding attire because they're the best, certainly in St. Louis, maybe anywhere. They're really good. They really are. They provide wedding attire for men, and they are outstanding. 30 years in Clayton. That is the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, Talena's has been there for 40 years. So none of that 30-year business. This is 40 years. Meddy, my very good friend who owns Talena's, has owned it for 40 years. And I mean to tell you, it's the best Italian food that you're ever going to get your hands on. And if you're thinking about spaghetti and meatballs any day of the week, if you go in to Talena's, I promise you, you'll find that it is the best spaghetti and meatballs ever. It just is. It's really good. I'm very hesitant when it comes to certain things to promote, you know, things that I'm not sure of. I mean, if I'm not positive, I don't say it. And I can tell you this, Talena's spaghetti and meatballs are the best on the planet. They also do something with them, too, that's pretty interesting. Sometimes they will bake cheese over the spaghetti and meatballs. But, I mean, you're just adding calories on top of calories. However, if you're not worried about the calories and you're just thinking about how it tastes, trust me, Talena's is the best for Italian food. 40 years, Talena's. That's in Creve Coeur, 141 and Olive. You'll find it. Okay. I want to talk for a few minutes about Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward has a book out right now. It's brand new. And it is called War. And he does this. He writes these books with a one-word title. And it has rocketed to the top of the New York Times bestseller list because, like all of his books, it's really good. And I've started it, trying to read too many things at once, of course, but it's really a great read because everything he writes is. And on top of that, if you've heard him on the air, he's good. And he's fair. Amazingly fair. He's been fair to Jeff Bezos. And he's not happy with Jeff Bezos, but he's been fair about it. Bezos ran away from Donald, ran to hide. I guess is afraid that Donald will do a Navalny on him, put him up in Siberia, and then kill him. And for all I know, if Donald were president, he might do those things. He says he will. He didn't say go send you to Siberia. He said that he would kill the enemies within. Execute them, he said. Well, okay. I say kill, execute. Same result, dead. He thinks he can do it now because the Supreme Court told him if it's an official act of the president, it's legal. This is a dangerous man. He wants to send the military out to kill American citizens. Now, I know he says later, cleaning it up, that he only meant marauding gangs of immigrants. It's really very pathetic, and it's amazingly Hitler-esque, and the people on his side, they don't believe any of this. They're not buying it. They don't want to hear it. But they don't care because they don't think he's going to do it, probably. But Donald keeps saying he will do it. And then on top of that, Donald is in bed with Vladimir Putin. And we know Vladimir Putin would do it. And we don't know why Donald has this relationship anyway. But we know he's on the phone with Vladimir regularly, they say. And Donald says if that's true, it's okay. Although, under the Logan Act, he is supposed to be telling the United States government what he's doing. He's allowed to do it, but he's supposed to tell. He won't tell. Because according to him, the United States government is the enemy within. Used to be enemy of the people. That was, of course, the media. And that's still operative. I heard him the other day. But now enemy within as well. So, yeah, he's up to a lot of things. A lot of bad things. A lot of dangerous things. But Woodward has outlined it all. He had conversations, interviews with Trump. They're all on tape. And he has outlined them in this book. And for anybody that says, well, it's not true, he's got the tapes. He's released the tapes. Donald's suing him for it. Well, that's all Donald ever does. He sues everybody. But he doesn't win. The only thing he gets is he gets all his debts wiped out in bankruptcy court 6 times. Now, there's nothing wrong with filing bankruptcy. Nothing at all. It's the law. It's just that when you claim to be one of the greatest businessmen in history, and all you're doing all the time is filing bankruptcy because you don't want to pay anybody, that's a problem. It's a problem to me. You know, I've got something else that I wanted to do here. I wanted to read to you. But what the heck? Because I have to go handle some debate things for students tonight. So that's why I got to run out of here early, like 5 minutes. And I started 5 minutes early. So, you know, it's all going to be good. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of the kids. I will be back tomorrow and I'll read to you. It's only a paragraph, but it's a good one. So stay tuned tomorrow for the paragraph. And in the meantime, remember, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, the St. Louis Suit Company, and Talena's. And remember this. This is Showdown. And I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.